This is WJBC This Week.
Jesse Smart, Paul Harmon, saw an opportunity to enter into a collaborative agreement to build off of that Mitsubishi plant coming to the community.
Maybe this was the beginning of the end of that cooperative arrangement.
He felt that under the system that existed that you had to be willing to compromise and you had to be willing to be bipartisan if you're going to get anything done.
He cannot play basketball at that high competitive level right now. Who knows what the future will hold, but right now he cannot.
Welcome to WJBC This Week, where we take a look back at the top stories and interviews from the past week. On the program this week, Bloomington's considering eliminating the Metrozone agreement with Normal. We'll hear from Normal Mayor Chris Coos and former Bloomington Mayor Jesse Smart. Former National Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood remembers former Congressman Bob Michael. We'll take a listen to part of our mayoral roundtable hosted by WJBC This Week. That and more coming up. This is WJBC This Week. Welcome back to WJBC This Week. The Metrozone agreement has stood between Bloomington and Normal since 1986. Bloomington is considering backing out of the longstanding deal. For reaction, WJBC's Scott Laughlin spoke with Normal Mayor Chris Coos.
Let's just go through a little education here. Let's talk about the Metrozone. It's an agreement you've been with Town of Bloomington for 30 years. What was the idea behind it?
The idea came after the Mitsubishi plant went online, and the city fathers at that time, the two mayors and the councils, that would be Jesse Smart and Paul Harmon, saw an opportunity to enter into a collaborative agreement to build off of that Mitsubishi plant coming to the community and created what is an economic zone, an economic development zone called the Metro Zone. And the idea of the Metro Zone was that both communities would share in all the costs of the infrastructure and police and fire safety in that zone on a 50-50 basis. And any revenues that came out of that zone would also be split on a 50-50 basis.
But according to the numbers we have, it's no longer a 50-50 basis.
Well, that's not true, Scott. That is not true. If you read the agreement and look at the disbursements on it, the reconciliation every year takes the total raw number of revenue and divides it 50-50 between the community. And sometimes, especially early on, Normal was in deficit and paid money to Bloomington, and currently it's the other way around.
So right now, are these numbers right then? Approximately $5 million going to Bloomington and $12 million going to Normal?
If you just look at the difference, yes. If you look at the actual numbers, both parties got 50% of the revenue out of the Metrozone.
Is the raw number then based on population, or what is that number based on?
No, it's based on the sales tax revenues and property tax revenues,
okay,
minus the expenses that come out of that zone.
All right. So Bloomington gets with you, and they say, you know what, we want to talk about this. We feel like we're getting the short end of the stick here. So you sit down, you have a couple of meetings, and in your mind, those meetings were okay. Am I right?
Yeah. Actually, we really never got into a negotiation. The last meeting I characterized, an hour and 15 minutes of 65 minutes of back and forth and 10 to 15 minutes of progress. At least we thought we were moving to a direction. Now, we understand that Bloomington felt that there was an equity in the agreement. We said, let's sit down and talk about that. They felt like we needed a neutral facilitator, and they suggested one, which we agreed to. And so our issue was, what is your issue with this agreement? How do we move it forward? Do we save the agreement? Do we scrap the agreement? If we scrap the agreement, how do we unwind it?
So would you call these meetings that you had, I mean, tempers weren't flaring, were they?
No. No, they were okay. Cordial.
So then all of a sudden, you realize that Bloomington is going to vote on this thing. They want to get out. And you're kind of shocked by that.
Correct. Well, I am. You know, let's compare this. This is a partnership. It was a partnership agreement. The terms are very clear. It's a very simple agreement if you read it. And the agreement says it can be modified or terminated with agreement of both parties. Now, there is an Illinois law that says in certain conditions one group can act unilaterally. We've tried to avoid that. We felt like it was a 30-year partnership. Both partners should have a say on how that changes or goes away. So let's compare it, that partnership, to a marriage where one partner goes to the other and says, look, I'm not happy with the marriage. I particularly don't want to talk about it. So I'm leaving and I'm taking all the assets. But, you know, I kind of like you. So, you know, are you available for a dinner and a movie next week?
Yeah. And then one says, could you pass the salt? Nah, you get it yourself. So,
right.
So now what is this? You know, what does this do? You guys, and I say you guys, the town of Normal and the city of Bloomington, unbeknownst to many, cooperate on a lot of different things. How is this going? How is this going to be from here on out?
Well, we value that partnership. We think it's important that we, as the city of Bloomington and the town of Normal, promote the region that we live in. As an economic powerhouse, not as two communities. So we that's going to make that job a little bit tougher, that when we have one side acting unilaterally on this. In terms of what we're going to do, you know, we're not really sure. We're going to be very deliberative about this, take our time. I have to talk to my council and see what their indication is. And, you know, we definitely want things to cool off before we decide what we're going to do.
Well, and we heard the mayor this morning. We're going to talk to Mayor Terry Renner coming up after 8 o'clock this morning, but we heard him in the news. We talked to him yesterday, and he said basically, you know, it's not like we're going anywhere. I mean, this is something we could, you know, get back into on down the road. How much of it had to do with Mitsubishi closing? Did it have everything to do with it?
I don't think it had a lot to do with Mitsubishi closing. You know, I think that was a time overlay. I will say that David Hales brought this to Mark Peterson's attention probably 2-3 years ago, that it was a concern for the city of Bloomington, and Mark's response was, okay, let's get together and let's talk about this. And that was met with silence for 6 to 9 months each time that happened.
So you're just kind of stunned by this, a little dumbfounded, I guess.
I am a little surprised that they took this action. We had two meetings. Again, the second one started moving toward what I considered productive dialogue. City council, 10 days later, went into an executive session. And as we tried to follow up with council members in the city of Bloomington about where this was going, we were told we can't talk about it. We had a meeting, but we can't tell you what went on in the meeting.
So, well, Patty, did you raise your hand? As if
no.
Oh, I
have a question.
Okay.
So in this situation, as you talk about the agreement specifically saying that it can be amended or canceled by agreement of two parties, what if you don't agree to cancel it?
That's what's happening now.
Then we're back where we started, and I think Bloomington has a stronger case if Normal just dug our heels in and said, no, we're not doing anything with the agreement, then I think Bloomington has a stronger case for doing what they're doing.
Normal Mayor Chris Coos with our own Scott Laughlin. Jesse Smart was mayor of Bloomington when the Metrozone deal was signed. He talks with WJBC's Sam Wood.
Wondering what your response to the fact that Bloomington may be wanting to pull out of this agreement and what you're thinking about it today.
Well, it's obvious that cooperation is not what it used to be. You know, it reminds me of many years ago when Mayor Bittner was Bloomington's mayor and Mayor Rytan was in Normal, they had a very poor relationship. I remember one meeting when Mrs. Rytan came over to Bloomington and publicly chewed out Mayor Bittner over some issue that wasn't big enough to have to fight about. But then after that, Mayor Buchanan and Godfrey were very good friends and did a lot of things together. Then they were followed by Mayor Harmon and me, and I had two terms. Two of my three terms were with Harmon, and we worked out a lot of good agreements. The boundary agreement and a lot of things all happened while we were there. And then after Paul wasn't there anymore, Paul Harmon, well, the next mayor of Normal wouldn't deal with me on anything, and it got a little sour. And then I kind of didn't pay much attention to it after that. But I think things were pretty good. And now, obviously, there's some deep-rooted problems there. So my caution would be, probably it'd be better at this case. I don't know the details behind all this, because none of us do at this point.
Right.
But it probably is time for the city managers to do the due diligence on this and see where the problems lie and what can be done. Because politically, I'm not sure that the two mayors can, way it sounds, they must be kind of odds over this.
Well, that's, it seems like Bloomington is beginning the lesser of the deal between the two towns in this agreement. And I think to date, Bloomington had paid, $5 million to the Bench Road Zone Agreement, whereas Normal had paid $5 million to Bloomington, whereas Bloomington to Normal got $12 million. So you can see it's almost a 100% disparity there. So, I mean, do you think this agreement could be retooled? I mean, it seems like Mayor Renner had said that this was it's nearly 30 years old now, and the city is changing. The cities are changing. So something new has got to be put into place.
Yeah. Well, it seemed to work very well for several years. And I can see the imbalance and that would cause a problem. But also, back up a few months, I noticed when the Mitsubishi plant was closing and sale was looking forward to somebody buying it, and et cetera, that we only heard from one side of this whole issue, and that was from the Normal side. So I asked some questions. Why isn't Bloomington involved in this negotiation, what have you? And the answer I got, something similar to the fact that, well, Normal has taken over all of that. And since the plant was in Normal, to me, it was still part of the metro zone, you know. And we don't have any say in it. So I'm wondering, I don't know anything more than what I just told you, if maybe this was the beginning of the end of that cooperative arrangement.
Well, and that's, it seems like Bloomington Normal has become synonymous. I think even some outsiders might think it's one unit of government.
Right.
So, I mean, did this Metro Zone agreement kind of tie into that creation of the identity of Bloomington Normal?
Well, yes. Yeah. And I think it was good because in the original, when we did that originally, as I say, I was there 30 years ago when it occurred.
Right.
We didn't think there were any winners or any losers because it was written up, and as I recall all this, so everything was mutual and everything was shared, both the expenses and what have you, and even to the point where water was provided by Bloomington to the plant and what have you. But since then, there's been a lot of growth out there with Walmart and the retail, because at the time this began, that discount store out there was really the only retail there.
Right.
And now there's a lot more retail, and that's probably caused this imbalance that you just mentioned a little bit ago. So at the least, it's probably something that needs to be renegotiated.
Yeah.
And that's where I was coming from when I said the city manager should do it.
Well, and what does it take for that kind of cooperation? I mean, when you hammered out this deal back in the 80s, I mean, what kind of cooperation and what kind of effort did that take to get the Metro Zone agreement done?
Well, you know, as I said, first of all, Paul Harmon and Jesse Smart got along fine and tried to do everything for the benefit. And if you'll remember, those of the listeners that were around when it happened, we had one objective in mind, and that was securing the Mitsubishi plant, Diamond Star as it was at that time.
Right.
So when you had a common objective in mind, maybe it was easier to negotiate then because we had a prize out there we were seeking. And so things are a lot different now than they would have been then. Mm-hmm. And this imbalance wasn't there then. It was basically the one plant.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was easier to share things. So it's, I don't know whether one can get out without both getting out. You know, of course, if one's out, the deal's done, it looks.
Right.
But nevertheless, I think they need to go back to basics and rework it till everybody's happy.
Yeah.
Or take the new set of figures and numbers that are there. But this is kind of a one-of-a-kind deal, so there's not a lot of precedent as to what's doable and what isn't. But
and you say it's a one-of-a-kind deal, and you mentioned the efforts of both cities wanting to get Diamond Star, at the time Diamond Star, eventually Mitsubishi, into the city. Is it going to take another common goal like that for a new deal to be hashed out?
I would think so.
Yeah.
And that's what bothered me when I was told that, and I'm not saying accuracy of this, but it was told that apparently Normal's the only spokesman for the what used to be the Mitsubishi side of this thing. So if there's any common cause to work on, it needs to be worked on quickly or its whole thing sounds to me like it's dead.
All right. Well, and with the timing of it, obviously the old Mitsubishi plant purchased by Rivian Automotive, and I think there's still a lot of questions on what Rivian's going to be. How big is it going to be? How much revenue can it generate? And, I mean, is that going to play a role in whatever agreement the two sides get into?
I would assume so, because if that's not part of the new agreement, well, then I can't see it happening.
Former mayor of Bloomington, Jesse Smart, with Sam Wood. WJBC hosted a mayoral roundtable this week. Of the wide-ranging topics covered in the two-hour event was the candidates' thoughts on what makes Bloomington a great place to live. Incumbent Terry Renner starts off the responses.
Well, I talk about these all the time as mayor. Well, as I make the pitch to people who try to come here, I say, you know, we have the highest education level in downstate Illinois. We've got the best-trained workforce. We've got the highest income level. We've got very high housing affordability. That is, our costs are low. We've got among, if not always, the lowest crime rate in downstate Illinois. And we've got great institutions of higher learning. We've got lots of corporate headquarters, not just a State Farm. And so, and we've also got a really great public transit system. And in fact, we had an award for our public transit system, the best small metro transit system in all of North America. That was last year. And we've gotten better than that because, thanks to our agreement between the town of Normal and the city of Bloomington, we each kicked in money so that they could provide more frequent and Sunday service. And when I rode the bus a couple weeks back, I talked to the people who were on. This was at peak times, and almost all of them used the bus every day. Most of them depended on the bus to get to work. So having a mobile workforce is really, really critical for us. And it's pretty clear we're on the move. We have a downtown plan. We're revitalizing our inner core. We have a comprehensive plan. And we're not just focused on downtown. Actually, most of our major projects, like Hy-Vee and Dick's Sporting Goods, Ovation Cinema, Green Top Grocery, have been in other areas. So we are trying to leverage our considerable assets as we move forward in the 21st century. And the other thing is, when people come to town or the possible investors, I give them my personal cell phone. So if you have any problems, you call me, and I'll make stuff happen.
Okay. Kevin Lauer.
Well, we have very, very nice amenities here. We are centrally located in the center of the state. We have some of the best schools. Our school system is top-notch. We have very nice neighborhoods, and it is attractive to folks that want to come here and raise a family. And that is the way Bloomington has come to be over many, many years. From a transportation standpoint, we have rail lines, which basically built Bloomington. We have one of the best airports in the region. We have equipment out there that probably is better than at times some of the locations upstate. So we have one of the best airports in the region. And our interstate system is central. So there is really an awful lot of assets that we can use to sell ourselves.
Thank you, Diana Hellman.
Thanks. There is so much that's good about our community. When we were deciding whether to move somewhere else in retirement or not, we chose to stay in Bloomington. And as our mayor and Kevin both mentioned, there's many assets that we have: education, healthcare, transportation, well-trained workforce. There's many good things here. But to me, what makes our community, what the top factors for me are the people and the potential that we have. We have unmet potential. We've already talked about downtown and what could happen down there. We've got there's so much that's good. And we oftentimes talk about what's not good and what we could do better. Yes, we can do better. Okay, we can learn from our mistakes that we may have made, and we can build on the things that we do well now and continue to make Bloomington the jewel of Midwest cities.
Thank you. And the last answer to this question, Mr. Fike.
Thank you. I think Bloomington's really good at providing the basic essential services, which would be fire, police, and garbage and bulky waste pickup. The fire and police are probably the best well-trained departments in Illinois, and they're a caring bunch. I was fortunate enough to be a part of the fire department, and not only well-trained, but they actually care deeply about the community. I mean, they're living here. They're raising their children here. You're not going to get rich off of a fire department job or a police department job. So there's got to be other reasons that they're doing it, and it's the caring approach. We are centrally located with 4 universities and 3 interstates. I mean, it invites small business here into this community. With the transportation that we have and the being centrally located, you can see that the restaurants just they fall over heels to be here in Bloomington. And it's not just because we eat out a lot. It's just a perfect place to live.
That is a segment of our own Mayoral Roundtable hosted this week. More to come. This is WJBC This Week. Welcome back to WJBC This Week. Former Congressman Bob Michael died just over a week ago. Former National Transportation Secretary and Congressman Ray LaHood was more than familiar with Michael's work. He spoke with our own Sam Wood.
Sam, good to be on. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. And the number one reason we've got you on today, Ray, is Friday, Central Illinois lost former Congressman Bob Michael. He served for nearly 40 years, 14 of those years in a leadership position. And just as a young person myself that wasn't too familiar with Congressman Michael's work, just reading about the legacy he left behind over the last weekend has been pretty eye-opening to me. But Congressman, I know you served as Representative Michael's chief of staff for about a dozen years, so I'm sure you're thinking a lot about the loss of Congressman Michael.
Well, he was an extraordinary person, Sam. He lived a full life. He died at 93 years old and accomplished an awful lot, and was a great mentor for many of us that worked for him, and a mentor for people in public service. He loved public service. He loved very much his job. I think when he was elected Republican leader in 1980, the same year that President Reagan was elected, they made a great team for 8 years. They worked very hard on behalf of the American people. President Reagan really kind of inherited a mess during that time, and Bob Michael was Republican leader during the time when Democrats controlled the Congress, and much of President Reagan's legislative success is directly attributed to Bob Michael's ability to reach across the aisle, to go to some of his Democratic colleagues in Congress and say, we've got a good proposal here, we got a good bill here, and look for those votes. And he was able to do it, and able to really help President Reagan accomplish an awful lot of his legislative agenda because of Michael's ability to really tap into his friendships that had developed over many, many years. And let me just add one more thing, Sam, and that is Bob Michael never thought compromise was a bad word. He felt that under the system that existed that you had to be willing to compromise and you had to be willing to be bipartisan if you're going to get anything done. And because of that value and because of those beliefs, coupled with his partnership with President Reagan, the country solved a lot of problems and really moved forward.
Well, yeah, and what was it like to watch that deal-making happen? Because as I read all these anecdotes of the ways he reached out to some of his colleagues that weren't on the same aisle as he was, it kind of blows my mind, and it seems like an era that is so far gone from the political climate we find ourselves in today.
You know, Sam, it is a bygone era. There's no question about it. When you look at the issues that our country faces today, whether it's immigration reform, whether it's fixing a very, very complicated tax code, whether it's crumbling infrastructure, whether it's balancing our budgeting, getting our fiscal house in order, there doesn't seem to be the same kind of ability to cross the aisle, to work in a bipartisan way, to reach those kind of agreements that Bob Michael, Ronald Reagan, frankly, Bob Michael and George Herbert Walker Bush were a very good team, too, but I think the lasting legacy for Congressman Michael was President Reagan had a strong agenda with the Democratic Congress. Bob Michael helped him usher in a new era of bipartisanship and compromise, and the country, the people of America and the country benefited from that.
We're speaking this afternoon with Ray LaHood, a former congressman and U.S. Secretary of Transportation. And, Ray, I'm also wondering just sort of the personal impact that Congressman Bob Michael had on you as, you know, while you were chief of staff and eventually took over his old seat. I mean, what sort of impact and legacy did Representative Michael leave on you?
Well, you know, yeah, Sam, thank you for that question because, as I said, Bob Michael was a mentor. He taught all of us that worked for him that being a good listener was the most important value you could have, that whether it was a constituent and whether it was somebody from the opposite party, listening to what their concerns were, whether it was about some issue with government or some political issue, listening was the best way to really figure out how to solve problems. And Bob Michael solved a lot of problems. He helped a lot of people. He was very strong on constituent service, had offices not only in Peoria but Jacksonville and Springfield in a far-flung district, pretty much the same one that our son Darren represents. And he also was very skilled at the art of legislating and the ability to get both Democratic and Republican votes on important legislation. I think what we learned from him is that being a good listener, but also working hard and also really having the ability to understand somebody else's point of view and trying to work with that person or those people was the way to accomplish your goals.
Hmm. And Ray, you know, a lot of the editorials that I've been reading about the former congressman was that, you know, when he left the House in the early 90s there, that kind of marked a turning point in civility in the House of Representatives. What do you think led to that? Do you think it was just these guys that grew up and served in World War II and just had a different way of conducting themselves, or is it something deeper than that?
You know, that's a good point. Bob Michael really was a part of the greatest generation. Men and women who went off and fought the hard fight in World War II came back to their communities and really built their communities, worked hard, and contributed a lot in their own way, either through public service or just hard work, raised their families, They represented the good Midwestern values that that we think of when we think of what really built America. This is the generation that built the interstate system. This is the generation that built communities like Bloomington Normal or Peoria or any of the communities around Central Illinois. And it was done with people who really believed in getting involved in the community, believed in public service, believed in serving the public, and did it with great distinction and great honor, and made people feel proud of the people that they sent to Washington.
Former National Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood with our own Sam Wood. More than 2 weeks ago, U-High basketball player Kai Bates Diop collapsed in practice, and his life was saved in part by an AED machine. His mother talks with WJBC's Scott Laughlin.
Kai's doing well. He's back at school.
Kai is doing really well. Went to school yesterday, had a full day.
All right. So
did
he
they
went
give
to
him homework? I just want to know.
Absolutely.
So he had his episode. Are we calling it a heart attack?
It was a heart attack.
All right. He had a heart attack. So he went back to school 2 weeks to the day.
Exactly.
When he had the heart attack.
Right.
So take me through this. Where were you and how'd this all go down on your end?
Well, 2 weeks ago yesterday on Thursday, I was coming back from Columbus visiting our older son, Keita, who goes to Ohio State. So I get a call from Coach McDowell just outside of Indianapolis that Kai had collapsed and EMT had been called. So he asked, was I in town, which I said I'm not. I'm, you know, over 2 hours away, and to call his dad, Richard, who works at State Farm. So McDowell got a hold of Richard. Hey, Kai collapsed. You need to get to the school. Well, a lot of phone calls back and forth. Richard got to the hospital before Kai got to the hospital. But in that 10-minute span, didn't exactly know what had happened, what was going on, how Kai was. Got another call that he was alert, he was awake. I was able to talk to him on the phone. He said he felt okay, and they were going to take him to Broman. Didn't know a whole lot of details.
Did you know at that time when he says, "I am," he's talking to you, did he realize, did you realize he had a heart attack?
No, we did not.
Okay.
They had not told us they'd used the defibrillator at that point. So we didn't know why he collapsed. Kai actually thought maybe he had gotten hit during practice, and he just had a concussion or fell down. Huh.
All right. So let's just kind of fast forward a little bit now. You realize what happened.
Right.
That had to come as a shock to you. The kid's 16. He's an athlete. Right. How old is he?
He's 16.
Yeah,
he was 16 in September.
He's an athlete?
Yeah, that was a surprise.
No signs at all of any problems?
Never felt bad. No signs, no symptoms. Had just worked out the night before with his dad. Everything was fine.
So you've got a million questions for the doctors.
We do, and they had a million answers. And the main thing is he had a heart condition that didn't know about it, so he had a heart attack. But, you know, oddly enough, right now he's fine.
And can he go on as usual? Will he continue to play basketball and all the other games?
He cannot play basketball at that high competitive level right now. Who knows what the future will hold, but right now he cannot.
So what is there anything they can do? Are they going to work on the heart in one way, shape, or form?
Well, because of what he had, which was called an arrhythmia, they have actually implanted a defibrillator, which listens to his heart. And if it goes out of rhythm again, it will put it back in the right rhythm. But they're not anticipating he'll never need that again, that it'll just listen and it'll just be there.
All right. So you're thinking your lucky star. I mean, everything worked out well.
Absolutely.
The AED. Trainers. Very fortunate that you had all that. They had all that at their fingertips.
Right. The fact that U-High has athletic trainers that are on site during practices made all the difference in the world. They have 7 AEDs in the school, 2 of which are portable, and they were able to get to one within seconds.
So, and how long did it take you to figure out? We want to raise some more money here to make sure that there are AEDs readily handy at all these schools in the area.
It didn't take long at all, because in conversations with the doctors in Peoria, they shared with us that sometimes schools don't have them. They make the choice not to invest in them just because of budget constraints. It is state law that you have them in a school, but it's not a funded mandate.
Right.
So a lot of schools make that decision if they need other equipment that, oh, that's probably not going to happen. We're not going to put out the $1,500 to $2,000 to have one in a gym or in an auditorium. So talking to the doctors, Richard and I just said, well, what can we do to help? So they're actually in the middle of a study trying to do a survey around the state of Illinois to find out which schools don't have them. And in the meantime, the school is asking us, hey, what can we do to help? I said, hey, why don't we have an awareness about the fact that schools don't have AEDs? And so they came up with a design and put it all together within a matter of 2 days, and the shirts were ready that Tuesday when they had their game.
And you have one on now?
I do.
White, is yours a long sleeve?
Mine is not.
Okay. White with a heart, the number 13, I imagine that's his uniform number?
That's his uniform number.
With his name on there, and you're selling them for $10?
$10, of which $5 goes into a fund established by UHI and my husband and I to help purchase AEDs for schools that don't have them around the state.
And how's that going so far?
I think they've sold
2 weeks.
They've only been on sale to the public a week, okay. So I think they've sold close to 600 T-shirts.
All right. And how much money have you raised? How many AEDs will you be able to purchase right now with the money you've raised so far?
I think they could probably purchase two. Athletic Director Wendy Smith has found out there are grants available to help schools match funds. So if they can come up with half the funds to buy one, that there are funds available to help them pay for it. They don't have to come up with the whole amount. So I think we could purchase two of them.
Cool.
Well, I just want to say that we had quite a few people that reached out to us immediately and said, how can we help? And we said, you know, it's probably going to be a few weeks. Give this family a chance. They're trying to take it all in. And I have to say thank you as the community, because within 24 hours, we started to get notice that you and your husband were willing to do whatever it was going to take to let the community help, because sometimes you're in a position yourself where you're trying to deal with life, and now you don't only have this situation with this son, you have another son, you're driving back, you're trying to work. And so as a community, thank you, because we found so many people that said we want to reach out, and I'm sure that you're seeing that throughout the United States, because I know of some people from the Indiana area that reached out to me that I don't even know and said, hey, I can see that your son is a UHI student. How do I get involved? So from our side, we're saying thank you, because I'm sure what you have gone through over the last few weeks has to be extremely emotional for you as a family.
It has been. But on the other side of that, we know how fortunate we are that Kai is alive. And we never want to lose sight of that if there's another child or an adult in that situation, we would like to think that we could have helped if they had an AED in that building. And so for us, it was a no-brainer. It was easy. The school came with the design. We certainly lend our support and want to tell that story.
So is there a fundraiser going on?
No, tonight is their final basketball game.
Oh, okay.
They'll be honoring their seniors, and I believe that they will also be noting at that game the beautiful young people that were in here that were very instrumental with the AEDs that day, and then two additional students that we did not meet. And I do want to tell you, this in our baggie is about $500 I'm going to send you back with to the school from the change that we collected.
That around all this time?
Well, I had it locked up.
I would have rolled you in the parking lot.
I had it locked up, and it's pennies. So if you'll take this back to Wendy, this is from our hour that we went out to Hy-Vee one morning and that the community reached out. So I am going to let Wendy count all those pennies, though.
Well, thank you. We certainly appreciate that.
All right. So now how is it at home? Is he milking this for everything it's worth?
He got homework last night.
He's starting to do dishes again, taking out the trash.
Yeah. I was wondering if he was getting out of that.
Life is back to normal.
Okay. All right.
How long was it before he was texting?
Oh, he never stopped, I don't think.
No, probably as soon as he got up.
It's Wilma Bates with our own Scott Walker. The weekend news is next. This is WJBC This Week. Welcome back to WJBC This Week. Now we'll look at the weekend news. A deal which has stood between Bloomington and Normal since 1986 might come to an end Monday. City Council is considering terminating the Metrozone agreement, which allows the municipalities to share tax revenue on the west side. Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner says there is some strain between the two as the city considers the move.
But we have generally good relationships. We work on dozens and dozens of intergovernmental agreements on police and fire and many other things. Neither of us are going anywhere, so we're still part of the same community.
Renner adds the deal is no longer in the best interest of Bloomington taxpayers. Normal Mayor Chris Coos says the move is disconcerting because the Metrozone deal states the agreement can be terminated by mutual agreement. Governor Rauner addressed a group in Normal Wednesday that's seen too much business from the state's financial woes. Rauner told the Illinois Movers and Warehousemen's Association convention, too many people are moving out of Illinois and not enough are moving in.
You guys know, you're on the fire line. You know what's going on in Illinois. You know you're moving people out of state.
Association Director Pat McLaughlin says the group backs some reforms the governor's pushing to help move his bottom line. Rauner says we should cheer on state legislative leaders to keep negotiating a budget deal. State Senator Jason Berrickman doesn't see how Speaker Michael Madigan's new school funding formula commission is anything more than a stall technique. Madigan says the new group will look to answer questions unanswered by the commission Governor Rauner formed, which Berrickman served on. Berrickman says he doesn't know what questions Madigan wants answered.
If there were questions that were left unanswered, why not ask them during that 8-month-long process? Why sit on your hands until now?
Rauner's commission presented its recommendations to the governor earlier this month. Bloomington police say the number of reported serious crimes dropped 5% in 2016 compared to 2015. That marks the lowest number of reported crimes since the city began tracking the stats in 1989. The week to come up next, this is WJBC This Week. Welcome back to WJBC This Week. Now a look at the week to come. On Monday, the Bloomington City Council considers eliminating the Metrozone agreement and also looks at the upcoming year's budget. Accused murderer Brian Peterson has a bench trial beginning Monday afternoon. Another accused murderer, Kirk Zimmerman, has a motion hearing on Thursday. And the Illinois State men's basketball team begins playing the Missouri Valley Conference tournament to cap off the week. This has been WJBC This Week. To listen to this week's program again, go to the WJBC.com podcast page. Thanks for listening. I'm Adam Staszynski.